You're listening to Revival Archives, a podcast that inspires Christians to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit by bringing the blessings of the past into the minds and hearts of those living in the present. Welcome, my name is Armen Tomasian, the pastor of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This is episode 2 of Revival Archives. We want to follow on from where we left off last time, as we looked at the beginnings of the Cambus Lang Revival, a revival that took place in 1742 in Scotland, a little rural place just outside of Glasgow. The minister at the heart of the revival, the Reverend William McCulloch, was helping his congregation be prepared for this revival by reading to them the accounts of what was going on through the ministry of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield. And by that was stimulating their hearts over a long period of time to a greater interest in the things of God. And so we last time saw the beginnings of that revival, the outbreak of that revival, and we want to just begin this time again where we left off last time, just with the outbreak of that revival, and then move on to the contribution of George Whitfield, just a little insight into his involvement, and then the spread of the revival into other areas around Cambus Lang. The first cases of extreme distress came less than 2 weeks later in February 1742, at the weekly lecture, and just after the Societies of Prayer had held 3 consecutive evenings of prayer in the manse. This paved the way for the Day of Days just 4 days later, and commemorated annually for years afterwards when, on Thursday, 18th of February 1742, the church was filled with the sound of weeping. That night the manse was crowded with about 50 wounded souls. The Cambus Lang Revival had begun, and McCulloch was compelled to institute services on an almost daily basis for over 6 months. By May, over 300 had been awakened, and as many as 9,000 to 10,000 were turning up for Sabbath services. That is where we left off last time, and we continue. Many ministers from all over the land came to see the work for themselves and reported on the good fruit that was issuing forth. By now the church was seldom empty, and meetings sometimes continued till as late as 6 in the morning, while the manse too was oft times crowded. By April, a lull appeared in the work, and McCulloch was about to tell his congregation that he would preach only on Thursdays and Sundays. But that very evening, such an extraordinary awakening came among the people that above 30 were convicted. As a result, daily preaching was continued. George Whitfield, aged just 27, paid a visit to Cambus Lang at the beginning of July. He recorded on that Tuesday of his arrival. He preached at 2 to a vast body of people, again at 6 in the evening, and afterwards at 9. Such a commotion was surely never heard of, especially about 11 o'clock at night. It far outdid all that ever I saw in America. For about an hour and a half, there was such weeping, so many falling into deep distress, and manifesting it in various ways, that description is impossible. The people seemed to be smitten by scores. McCulloch preached after Whitfield had finished, concluding after 1 o'clock in the morning. But even then the people could hardly be got to retire. Throughout the whole of the night, the voice of prayer and praise could be heard from the fields. So this is how the work of God continued with the arrival of Whitfield on the scene, and his preaching continued to stimulate and move the hearts of those in the area to the point that they simply did not want to go home, and God was working so profoundly in their hearts that there was weeping and very evident signs of repentance and a turning from sin. The following Sabbath had been fixed as communion weekend. Two tents were set up on the contoured hillside known as the Braes, where throughout that long day preaching was continued, and 17 tables were served. Now I should just stop there and give a little insight into communion in Scotland, especially at that time, although still somewhat in some churches today. Communion would be held once, maybe twice a year in Scotland. It was a huge event, and there would be preparatory services from maybe Thursday, then Friday, Saturday, and the people would be examined by the minister, by the elders, and upon examination, they would be given a token, and then that token had to be presented on the Lord's Day at the communion service, and those without a token would not be allowed to participate. So this is what they did back then. This is how they observed communion. And on this occasion, with 17 tables and 100 people per table, there was 1,700 people participating in communion that Lord's Day. But they were not the only ones attending. We are told between 20,000 and 35,000 people were gathered, and Whitfield witnessed scenes of which he had never before seen the like. The motion passed swift as lightning from one end of the audience to the other, he wrote. You might have seen thousands bathed in tears, some wringing their hands, some almost swooning, and others crying out and mourning over a pierced Saviour. McCulloch wrote of the occasion, the number present at the three tents on Sabbath was so great that, as far as I can hear, none ever saw the like in Scotland since the Revolution, or anywhere else on a sacramental occasion. The lowest estimate I hear of, with which Mr. Whitfield agrees, makes them to have been upwards of 30,000. So there's a tremendous interest in spiritual things. Thousands upon thousands are gathering from miles all around to participate in the service as much as they can, and certainly to hear the Word of God. But it spreads. Other areas are being blessed. And so before we bring this episode to a close, we'll read a little of what was going on. Reverend John Hamilton testified that in less than 2 months after the commencement of the work, there were few parishes within 12 miles of Cambuslang where some were not awakened to a deep, piercing sense of sin. Indeed, including many from a greater distance still, the number awakened by that time was thought to have been over 2,000. The ministers of East Kilbride, Blantyre, Bothwell and Cathcart, each parish, like Cambuslang itself, being located in the presbytery of Hamilton, all helped in the work directly. In these places, as well as in Old Monkland, where there was no settled minister, but where two elders in particular took an interest in the work, numbers showed deep concern about their salvation, many also paying a visit to Cambuslang to obtain spiritual nourishment for their hungry souls. The Reverend William Hamilton of Bothwell wrote of the work of grace which extended to his parish, occasioned by the visit of many young folk making the journey to Cambuslang, where they were awakened to their soul's dark condition. These were solicitous in bringing friends and neighbours to an acquaintance with Christ, and so was begun, noted Hamilton, a more than ordinary seriousness among a goodly number in several corners of this congregation. More conscience is made of family worship in several families, as likewise there are some new societies for prayer and Christian conference set up, wherein several persons, beside those awakened at Camaslung, have joined. Leave it there. It does us all good to hear of these events and to see that young people were at the heart of some of the things going on. Young people going to hear the word, coming under conviction, coming to Christ and saving faith, and then returning and winning souls, being influential and bringing, as it says, friends and neighbours to an acquaintance with Christ. These are the scenes that we look for today. When we live in a generation of young people so caught up in all sorts of distracting things and drawn into all the matters of the world, we look to God to revive His church and to quicken our young people to have a keen interest in the things of Jesus Christ, to set their affection upon things which are above, where Christ is seated. May the Lord stir our hearts, and wherever you are as you listen to this, may you be given tremendous grace to seek God yourself, to seek God with your family, or perhaps to get alone with one or two other interested individuals and begin to have seasons, regular seasons of prayer. May the Lord grant it for His name's sake. Our Father, we are thankful again for the account that we have read. And we give Thee all the praise and glory for the record of the church and her days of reviving. We pray that these scenes as recorded for us would do our hearts good. We pray that Thou wilt give us that stirring that we so desperately need, that we might seek Thee for the blessing that is so desperately needed in our day. O God, come to my heart, and come to the hearts of all of Thy people in these days. Revive us again in the midst of these years. Cause us, O God, to seek Thee beyond everything else, and may it please Thee to revive us and pour out Thy Spirit in power upon us. Bless and help Thy church in these days, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.